saw, and if we zoom in on, you probably saw him in the night sky.
Yeah.
That was Venus and Jupiter. Venus and the moon. Okay, so we saw that. Like, if you parked on this street, they were right down at the end of the street. They looked very pretty. Very pretty. Okay. So, you look up and you see the sky. Alright. And over here is another bright thing. Okay. Now, I can put up constellations, and I can put up names. And there are these names in the constellation we see. So there's all these different constellations, and I don't think there's Ursa Minor, the little difference. Ursa Major, the big difference, right on the horizon. But the one we're interested in is, this is Capricorn, Aquarius, Pisces, Aries, Taurus. And I'm going to throw in a marking, which will be the date. Here. And notice that this line goes through Capricorn, Aquarius, Pisces, Aries. And notice that right there, that is in Taurus, that is Jupiter. Okay. So, if I take, right now I have the horizon on, so I'm going to turn the horizon off, turn the atmosphere off. Alright? And I see that this path, and it's called the ecliptic, goes through all the things. Gemini, Cancer, Leo, Virgo, Libra, Scorpio, Sagittarius, Capricorn, Aquarius, or we're back to Pisces again. So, burn this briefly. Now, what is this thing, the ecliptic? What are these constellations of the zodiac? Okay. Alright. So, how long is a day? 24 hours. Okay. 24 hours. What does that mean? That means if I go and I put a pole in the ground, okay, like a lamp, a street light pole or something, and I throw a shadow down on the ground, the time for that shadow to come back to the same point, the sun at the same point to stop. So you could, sit there, at the lamppost and position yourself so that the sun's right above the lamppost at a certain time. How long would it take to come back around? 24 hours. Okay. Now, that is how long does it take a star to go around? Okay, obviously I'm taking this from our Earth standard point of view. 24 hours for the Earth, for the sun to go around all the way around once. Rise, set, rise again. How about a star? How long does it take for us? 23 hours, 56 minutes. The stars rise and set a little differently than the sun. Which means that the sun's position against the stars changes day by day. So that this is where the sun is right now. Okay? So right now, the sun is here. But if I go forward a day to the fifth, clink, the sun will be there. And the sixth, clink, the sun will be there. And the seventh, and the eighth, and the ninth, and the tenth, and the 11th, and the 12th. The sun moves day by day through the constellations. Alright. So, I'm going to lock on the sun here. And then I'm going to set time in motion. And there goes the sun. So, the sun goes through Capricorn, Aquarius, Pisces, Aries, Taurus, Gemini. Okay? What are the signs of the zodiac? The signs of the zodiac are the signs that the sun passes through in the course of a year. Okay? So, now what are these other things? These are the planets. And they also follow along through these same constellations. Okay? Which is why the zodiac is a big deal in pretty much any culture that you that pays any attention to the sky at all. They may not call the constellations these same names. These go back to the Mediterranean and Middle East. All right, that's where these constellations that we know originate in Syria, Iraq, Egypt, Greece, that zone. Okay. But other cultures, if you go to China, you know, that's different. But everybody pays attention to this area in the sky because the moon, see the thing moving fast? That's the moon. Zoop, there was a moon. Zoop, there was a moon. Okay. This is going by, there's like a week is about a second here. Okay. So there's always this stuff going on in the sky, in these constellations. If you notice, most of the time the planets are going in the same direction through the constellations as the sun. Some of them, however, but sometimes they turn around and go the other direction. Okay, so this, I believe, is probably, that's Mercury. Okay, when they're going in the same direction as the sun, that's direct motion or prograde motion. When they go the opposite direction, that is called retrograde. Okay, so. Yeah, how many people have heard of
Mercury retrograde?
Okay. All right. So Mercury retrograde is, okay, there's Mercury. That's direct motion right there. And boom, there's Mercury retrograde. Comes around back over to here and goes this way. Okay, now, why is this happening? Because Mercury's going around the sun, right? And we're going around the sun. So the reason that now, we know this today. Back in the old days, they thought they didn't really know that the Earth was but we know the Earth is going around the sun, so our perspective on the sun changes. That's why there's a different constellation behind the sun every day of the year. And then Mercury's going on the sun. And so you're watching Mercury right here. You're watching Mercury is orbiting the sun as it goes. Okay. Actually, it's going behind the sun there. The reason it goes dark here is because you're seeing that it's being illuminated. It's between Earth and the sun. You're seeing the dark side of Mercury. So it's retrograde. Venus retrogrades also. I'm not sure which one of these guys is Venus. No, that's Venus there. Okay. And Venus is, so out there in the sky, if you watch, eventually Venus is going to come to a certain point in the evening sky, and you'll see it go back down, and that Venus retrograde. There goes Venus back. Okay. If we go find Saturn, the outer planets, there's Saturn. Saturn moves very slowly. Okay. Here comes the sun. But you can watch Saturn, and now it's moving along in direct motion. And this is really getting kind of a little dull, so I'm going to pick up the pace a little bit. But there's Saturn. Go backward, forward. Backward, forward. Backward, forward, and then let's go find Jupiter. So there's Jupiter. Jupiter behaves a lot like Saturn, but its motion is more dramatic. And then if you want really dramatic, there is Mars. Here goes Mars. Boom. Mars flies and then backs up and then goes forward. It also, Mars does the retrograde the least often. Shoo. There it goes. Okay. So, when you are, so these things that you hear about, okay, Mercury retrograde, it's a real thing. Okay. It means that Mercury's appearing to move backwards in the sky as it passes between Earth and the sun. All right. So, time to stop time. Go back to now. Go back to the sun. Okay, so, So I just showed this for Guadalajara. There was the night sky. There's the constellations. There's the ecliptic, which is the path of the sun. All right, all this stuff. And at that particular time, okay, there was this was at the moment of the start of my talk at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on October the 31st. There's where the sun was in the sky. And this says that the sun was in Scorpio. So what this is saying, what your sun sign is, your moon sign is, and your ascendant is, supposedly, is the sun sign is the constellation the sun was in at the moment you're born. Your moon sign is the constellation the moon was in at the moment you're born. And your ascendant is the constellation that's rising, ascending of the eastern horizon at the moment you're born. So you go look up, you know, we saw what astrology.com said, sun was Scorpio, moon was Scorpio, ascendant was Pisces. But we look at this and like, hey, this is October 31st, there's Scorpius, there's the sun. It's not where the app says it is. Okay? Take away the atmosphere so we can see things better. And we see that most clearly, the sun is not in Scorpio. In fact, the sun is at the is like right between Libra and Virgo. And then the moon is not in Scorpio either. The moon is in Virgo. And the ascendant was Pisces. And what's coming up on the eastern horizon over here? It's Aquarius. So the app is wrong. You can go find another app to say the same thing. Let's see.
Why is that?
Well, okay. So, back up. So this is the sky for, and we, if you want, if you don't mind throwing out your birthday, we can actually look you up and see what is your sign and stuff like that. You know, like where you could, I can see there's plenty of people who want to go first. So if we have time, we'll do this. Okay, but for the moment, I'm going to stick with, now I will tell you, I used to teach this, it was really funny, when I used to teach astronomy at Jefferson. I never had the students' attention so much as I was talking astrology. And everybody was rapt. And I pull out this app and do this thing, and some people, gosh, dude, and then you put people's in. Some guy, this app I'm using is free, it's called Stellarium, you can download it. He went and downloaded it, decided he would share this with his friend, and he shared it with his girlfriend, and informed his girlfriend that she wasn't the sign that she thought she was, and she got really angry and broke up with him. So watch this. Some people take this stuff really seriously. So anyhow, here is the sky on October 31st, 2024. Okay? What I've just been showing you. Why are the signs off? Why aren't the signs what the app says they are? Because in astrology, they have not updated, they don't actually follow the real sky. Okay? They follow the sky that existed in ancient times. Okay. So, if I went and said not the year 2024, there, that is the year 224. 224. Okay. Now, the sun is arguably in Scorpius. The moon, well, it's not still not really in Sagittarius, but at least it's closer to Scorpius than it was on that date in 2024. And the ascending is Pisces. So the app is at least a little bit closer to reality, quote, reality, if you were born in the year 224 instead of the year 2024. What's going on here? So the Earth has a phenomenon called precession. And this causes all the constellations of the equinox to shift against the, oh, sorry, they call reason, for example, for the reason we have what's called the Gregorian calendar that we use. The Gregorian calendar was introduced because the date of Easter was set at the Council of Nicaea in 325, okay? And the Council of Nicaea defined the date of Easter in terms of the spring equinox, which, because Easter goes along with Passover on the Jewish calendar, and Passover occurs based on the Jewish calendar, which is the middle of the month of something. And so you've been working out trying to make these things align, and they come up with the algorithm for when we would get. The Jewish calendar runs on the phases of the moon, not, we use a Roman calendar, the calendar of the Roman Empire. So our calendar is based on the sun, not the moon. So trying to translate between these two, they set, here's what today is Easter is going to be, it's based on the spring equinox, which is set at this particular date. It did not account for the fact that the Roman calendar had leap years in it. So it accounted for the fact that there are a year is not 365 days long exactly, but 365 and a quarter, so they had leap years in it. But it turns out it's not exactly 365 and a quarter. You had to factor that in. So by the time you've gone for 1,000 years, the equinox wasn't when the equinox was supposed to be anymore. So the council, so the form of the Gregorian calendar was to get this all lined up. So we use what's called the Gregorian calendar now. But if you ever listen to the news, you may find out, for example, that in Russia, or in Greece, where Eastern Orthodox Christianity holds sway, they will often talk about how they celebrate Easter and Christmas and stuff on a different time. That's because they're still using the old Roman or Julian calendar. Okay. So astrology has done the same thing. They have not accounted for this thing called precession, which is the Earth slightly wobbling as it spins, which causes the North Pole to point to a little bit different spot in the sky. It takes about 36,000 years or so. Is that right? 26, 27? Tens of thousands of years to go through the cycle. The astrologers don't keep that in account. They're still doing their calculations, paying no attention to the actual sky. They're doing calculations based on whatever they were calculating back in the time of the Roman Empire, and that's why the atoms swap. You're signing a lot. Okay. So we can do this. Alright, since you volunteer. Now it might not be a lot. Okay? Because it can be shifted by about half a sign in 2,000 years. So depending on where you are, you might be your sign, you might not be. So what do you think your sign is? Like Cancer. Okay. What is your date of birth? 1974, July 2nd. And what time were you born? You know?
5:08 Central.
This really only matters for the moon. The moon's going in. It moves fast enough that your time would change. And so let's call the. So first of all, you're not a Cancer. Yeah, the sun is
up.
755. 755.
I'm
at
805.
Okay. I wonder if that would be.
855.
The only thing that's going to affect is the moon. Okay, the moon changes positions significantly. In fact, the moon will change positions significantly fast enough. And when you go out and look at Venus, like when I walked in, the two points of the curve of the moon lined right up to the point of Venus. But if it's still up, like you still see it going down, by the time we're done, you'll see it has moved back. It will not be the moon. The moon goes through all the constellations of the zodiac in a month, whereas the sun goes through a year. So the moon is booking. So obviously, first of all, so you're not a Cancer, you're a Gemini. And then if you wanted to say, what is your lunar sign? Where was the moon? Now, you don't know what your moon sign was, but it's in Scorpio. And then what was your ascending? The, that was turn the horizon back on so we can see what's coming up. That's west. That's east. Gemini. So, yeah. Now, who, just out of curiosity, is there someone willing to do this who knew what all their signs were? Yeah, okay. So, what's your date of birth? October 2nd, and you know what time you're born at?
Yes, 12:19.
Oh, that's the moon. See it, Lou? Mm-hmm. Did I change the hours? 12:19. Not this, like, this level of precision matters that much. Okay, 12:19 p.m. So, what do you think the sign is?
Libra.
Libra. Is she a Libra? No, she's Virgo, absolutely. Okay. Sun is in Virgo when she is born. The moon, what was your moon sign?
Gemini.
I don't think this is going to be Gemini. It's taking the ground away. Taurus. Okay. And do you know what your ascending was supposed to be?
Sagittarius,
what's coming up? No, Libra or Virgo. But let's go back to the year 196 and just take, there we go. Okay, now that we've got Sagittarius coming up over there, you're still not really very much a Libra, but it's closer. And then the moon was supposed to be a what?
A Gemini.
A Gemini. Even still, it's getting closer, but it's not very good. So, no, you're even in the Asian country, not what you think you are. So here's the thing I'm telling you. So, it's fun thing. What is fun about astrology? What's fun about astrology is it true that at the point you were born, the sun was in a certain spot, the moon was in a certain spot, a certain thing was coming up on the horizon. You could go and do this, you could go look at it and find out, like, Mercury retrograde when you were born. That's all real stuff. Okay, these are real phenomena in the real sky. They just don't line up with what the astrology people say. Okay. So there's not actually a connection between what the astrology people talk about and the actual sky. The funny thing about astrology is that they say, oh, you know, these things influence us and determine what we are. Except that they're not where they say they are, they're supposed to influence us.
Yeah.
So, alright. So, this is the astronomy. This is, you know, these things you can go out and learn for yourself. You can go out there and look at Venus and the moon and pay attention. You can figure out what constellation it's in. Figure out the dark in the country. You can probably see all the stars in the constellation. But even if you don't, you can probably use your little phone app thing and point and see what constellation the moon is studying. Right? You can see what constellation the sun is. Those little phone app things, you can use those in the daytime and actually they'll show you a little augmented reality. You can see what constellations look, you can see where the sun is. And then you can let it set and go down and test, hey, is this thing working right? And you can let it set and see if the stars that show up in the sky on the western horizon are the ones that set. You can test your thing. Real sky. Real sky is astronomy. Okay. That's the real sky. Paying attention to what's really up there. Okay, so, we go back to here. All right. So, in the year going back to the idea of looking at the year 224, about, you know, roughly, you know, 2,000 years ago, but it's Asian times. What do we think the universe, if you're in the year 224, so 2024, the year 196, instead of 1996, what do you think the universe looks like? You think the universe looks something like this, okay? The Earth lies at the center of the universe, okay? It is fairly obvious that the Earth, to anybody with any sense, you're going to look and say, the Earth is at the center of the universe, it is not moving, okay? I know you learned in grade school that you're moving. Do you feel like you're moving?
No.
How fast are we moving right now if the Earth is terminal. About 1,000 at the equator, you figure out Earth 25,000 miles around, it's got to turn around once every day at 24 hours. 25,000 miles in 24 hours is 1,000 miles an hour. It's a little smaller circles. You move to the north, obviously at the poles, you're not moving at all. Here, you're doing about 800. That's still faster than the speed of sound. Wow. So if you wonder, like, why did people not believe this? Because you're going to be because according to that, you're going at supersonic speeds right now. You like going at supersonic speeds?
No.
Right? So people thought the Earth is at the center, and then we see the sun rise and set. We see the stars rise and set. You know, if I go look at this thing, back to here, okay, take it to now, current time, okay? So those things are going down on the horizon. I set the thing, set time in motion, and see stuff sets in the east, stuff sets in the west, and rises in the east. And so it does rather look like everything is turning in a big circle around us. It does seem like the Earth is at the center, everything's going around. It makes perfect sense. So, they believe that the Earth is at the center of the universe, and it was made of four elements. Anyone know what the four elements are that make up the Earth? What?
Earth, wind, fire.
Earth, wind, fire, water. Okay. Or earth, air, fire, and water. Okay? The heavens were then thought to be made of a fifth element, something completely different. Why? Because everything on Earth breaks, wears out, changes, whereas the sky does not. The sun always rises and sets. Okay? It has been rising and setting for all of human history. So, obviously, it must be made of something different. There's no machinery on Earth could work for thousands of years without breaking down. No fire could burn for thousands of years without going out. So, obviously, the heavens are something different. If you think this is really wacky, to just make up something to explain what you don't know about the universe, let me introduce you to two concepts. What are they? Dark matter and dark energy.
Yeah, okay.
Dark matter and dark energy. One of the scientists affiliated with the Vatican Observatory named Maria Elena Monzani. She works on the Lux Zeppelin experiment, where one of these things put a detector down the salt mine, trying to detect dark matter on Earth. And they're getting better and better at failing to detect dark matter. I know this because I'm working on the observatory's annual report. I just got her report, and they are more and more precisely not detecting dark matter. So it is a thing that we postulate that exists somewhere else to explain the universe, but it isn't here. At least we can find it. So, it's not really such a stupid idea to come up with a fifth element. We do this even today. So, the Earth is at the center. Other stuff goes around it. In this diagram, you have, this is a stylized thing, but you have Earth, water, air is these clouds, that's fire, and then there's the moon. So, from the moon up is the fifth element, and you have the four elements here. Well, guess what? Go study astrology a little bit, and guess what they talk about? Earth, air, fire, and water. Okay? So one of the things that got me interested in this, I can't remember how I discovered it, but I was probably looking up something, I think I was listening for astronomy books for kids, and I found this astrology book. It's out at the library, public library, and I was looking at astronomy books for kids, and one of these astrology books search. And I start looking. I realized that the library has started accumulating astrology books since 2019. All these books are since 2019 that they've added to their collection. And a lot of them are directed at young women in particular. Okay, so this is from a whole series of books called It's Written in the Stars. They got one for all the 12. Okay, one for each constellation. So yeah. And so they talk about these four elements. And so the signs that have a connection with the elements, yada, yada, yada. Okay. So in the year 2024, the planets and stars are ethereal lights. Ethereal, meaning they're made of that fifth element, the ether. Okay? They are centered on Earth. Okay, so remember, Earth, air, fire, and water here. The ether is out here, centered on the Earth. And so they can convey ethereal information from the gods or the universe or whatever, however you want to look at it, okay, to Earth. Remember that Jupiter, Mars, Venus, Mercury, these names are, what are those people? What are Venus, Mercury? Gods. They're the Greek, they're Roman gods, but the Greek gods, and you can turn around and look at other cultures, that area, in the, you know, different names, but gods. Alright, now let's look at the universe. Well, the solar system in the year 2024. Okay, so in the year 2024, the Earth is at the center. In the year 2024, where in this diagram is the Earth? Okay, I just point out that's Neptune, that's Uranus, that's Saturn, that's Jupiter. So Earth is down in here somewhere. You have the blue lines are planets and dwarf planets. The yellows are comets. The oranges are asteroids, I believe. Yeah, asteroids. A whole bunch there with the asteroid belt. Okay, so the Earth is not the center. And the other thing is, this is an important thing, okay, the two things I want you to remember about astrology is, one is the cap's wrong, okay, because they don't actually pay attention to the real sky, and they're still stuck in the year 200. And then the second is, okay, that in our modern understanding, all the bodies in the universe are made of the same elements. So in the 19th century, this thing was developed called spectroscopy, which is the ability to, by looking at the light from something, to determine what it is made of from a distance. And what we find out, we start doing spectroscopy, is that the universe is full of the same, everything's made of the same stuff. Okay? So the universe is mostly hydrogen. I heard a great interview with a Nobel Prize winning chemist. The guy asked him, the reporter asked him a dumb question and said, what's your favorite element? Which I thought was a really dumb question. And he gave a great answer. He said, hydrogen. He said, it's God's favorite element. The universe is overwhelmingly hydrogen. And then, but here in the solar system, it's hydrogen, carbon, oxygen, nitrogen, iron, silicon, those are the biggies. Okay. Everything's made of the same stuff. Alright, so Mars is not made of the ether. Mars is made of the same thing that stuff on Earth is made of. Okay. Jupiter is not made of the ether. It's made of the same stuff that things here on Earth are made of. Okay. Venus, you know, it's rock, the moon, rock. Okay. So, they are all made of the same stuff, and so therefore they all obey the same laws of physics and chemistry. This is Mars, right? So Earth is still down near, too close to the sun for us to see. So everything made obeys the same laws of physics and chemistry. So in the year 2024, planets and stars are not centered on the Earth. They are not ethereal, and they are just material like us. So there's no ether, there's no four elements. So one of the things you will see here is for justifications for, like, why astrology supposedly has something going for it, is that, well, we are all connected. And you are part of the universe around you, and by studying the stars, it's possible to learn more about yourself. These are lines from this book series. So in particular, I heard an interesting discussion on NPR, on our global NPR station. So you can see I'm pointing out that we're getting astrology through the public library, and we're getting astrology through the NPR station. So there's an interview with Maria Hinojosa, who is an award-winning journalist. She has won a Pulitzer Prize. She is a significant journalistic figure. Talking to Issa Nakazawa, who is an astrologer. And so one of the things, and in fact, Maria Hinojosa is interested enough in Issa Nakazawa that she, that Hinojosa's media group, which is called Futuro Studios, is running a podcast with, called Stars and Stars with Issa. So, you know, she's supporting this astrologer. And what they say, and they cite Carl Sagan in this, is that we're all made of star stuff. Okay, so there's this famous quote from Carl Sagan from his Cosmos series from 40 years ago, where he says we're all star stuff. You know, how the universe comes to know itself. You know? And so they say, look, we're star stuff. We are connected to the stars. So astrology makes sense. So we're part of something bigger. We don't walk alone. This is the language they use. Alright. So, the thing is, so, but if the stars and stuff or the planets are made of the same thing we are, then why would the hydrogen, the carbon, the oxygen, the iron, the silicon, and faraway bodies affect us more than the hydrogen, carbon, oxygen, silicon, and so on here on Earth? Okay. So, for example, supposedly the ascendant can make a huge difference in who you are. Okay. This changes. Your ascendant determines much about who you are according to the astrologers. So, this is from these books, okay? That said that the stars of Virgo ascendant on the eastern horizon at a Leo's birth will affect her in one way. And so what they say is to temper Leo's love of drama and causing her to perhaps come across as less fun-loving than you really are and be prone to getting caught up in making things perfect. From the same Leo, if the Sagittarius is ascendant, the stars will affect her in a dramatically different way, giving her a sunny character to match her bright and breezy personality, so she makes friends with ease, is a natural leader, full of optimism and love of learning, with a Sagittarius free spirit that is complemented by Leo's staying power. That's a huge difference, you'll be like, man, I'm a Virgo ascendant, I'm a, just a perfectionist, unfun-loving, blah, blah. If I was just a Sagittarius affection ascendant, then I'd have all this great stuff going on for me. So, huge difference. What is the difference? Okay, this is the difference. This is one constellation. That's the other constellation. One of those. That constellation is, on the horizon, is you are less fun-loving than you really are and prone to getting caught up in making things perfect. And if that constellation is on the horizon when you're born, you have a sunny character with a bright and breezy personality, make friends with ease, natural leader, full of optimism and love of learning, free spirit, complemented by Leo staying power. Okay. That's a heck of a difference. You know, what stars show up on your eastern horizon? So, how would those stars affect someone so dramatically? Okay. How much effect does a star have on somebody? They're obeying, right? They're made of the same stuff, the same matter that we're made of. They're made of the same matter in the room that's in our bodies. Okay. Hydrogen in the stars, you got a bucket load of hydrogen in you. And there's the old Star Trek episode, Star Trek The Next Generation. They talk about human beings as ugly, ugly, giant bags of mostly water. Okay, because we are mostly water, and water has a lot of hydrogen. Has hydrogen. Okay, stars have hydrogen. So, if we look at the effect that those stars would be dwarfed by every object that's in the room that the person was born, the gravitational pull of Earth of a star like the Sun, located 10 light years away, is less than the gravitational pull of a mass of 1/4 of a gram at a distance of 1 meter. Okay. So, each bead of sweat on the head of the child's father as he encouraged her mother through the delivery would have had as much effect as the stars of the rising sun. Okay. So, negates the whole business, this whole idea, because it, the way that the argument for what made astrology work is the idea that it was ethereal, right? It was a sort of quasi-supernatural type thing. The fact that the universe is made of us, we now we're connected in that we're made of the same stuff, but the same stuff is going to affect us in the same way, so that, okay, first anyway, this water, hydrogen, the oxygen in the air, has the same effect on me as the hydrogen gravitationally at any kind of distance, has the same effect as whatever hydrogen and oxygen is on Mars
or Jupiter
or a star. Okay. So it really doesn't make any sense that those things would affect us. So here's the thing. So astrology is. Takeaways. Astrology is essentially almost 2,000 years out of date. The signs are wrong because the calculations are out of date. This is another example. This is for someone born in the year 2006 on August the 1st. If you're in looking at 2006, it's Cancer. But if you look at the year 206, Leo. If you look at the astrology app or the astrology charts, it will say if you're born on August 1st, you're a Leo. Okay, because that's what you would have been back then. Earth is not the center, so you can go out and see the sky, test the stuff, look at it for yourself. Earth is not the center of the universe. Stars and planets are not ethereal objects, and so they have the same effect as all other matter, and they're too far away to do anything to us. Okay. The idea that anything about you is determined by the stars lacks any scientific basis, so astrology is more like a fragment of a religion. With those terms and stuff, retrograde and what, you know, the idea of the zodiac and stuff, those are real. Okay. But the arguments for why those things affect you are not. Running out of time, so I'll skip the historical perspective. Basically, for a long time, you can find this is a very famous book of 17th century by Giovanni Battista Riccioli, and one of the things that he this is like a standard text of the time. One of the things he says is that even though astrologers may be wrong 1,000 times and deceive many, they are more famed from one instance of reputable success than infamy from so many blatant lies. So you know. He just rips on it. Astronomy is the most excellent part of mathematics, and they perverted it to judicial astrology to predict fortuitous events ranging from certain predictions of eclipses to claiming equal certainty in other matters. There is some validity. I can make a prediction with astrology. Okay, are you ready? Are you ready? When the sun is in Scorpio, it will be cold. When the sun is in Cancer, this is true. Okay? When the sun is in Scorpio, that's winter. And when the sun is in Cancer, it's summer. So that's right. And you're in the northern And you're in the northern hemisphere, especially above the tropics, you know, then it's going to be like in Guadalajara, the temperature only changes slightly. The bigger thing varies. So you can still, it rains in Guadalajara in like June, July, and August. And so you can still say, well, when the sun is in Cancer and Leo, you get right. And in fact, the last thing to go, so nobody with any sense ever believed in judicial astrology, which means that you can determine your future and stuff from astrology. For a while, it was used in medicine, so the idea was this: if you get somebody to pee in a bottle and you get their astrological sign, you can diagnose what's wrong. The last thing to go was the use of astrology and budget forecasting, because there actually is a connection between what sign the sun is in and the weather. So that kind of makes sense. So that would be the last thing to go. But it is true. All kinds of famous astronomers from 400 years ago, Galileo cast horoscopes. Johannes Kepler cast horoscopes. It had been around for a long time. So I go in, I work for the Vatican Service, I have to join Pope Francis ripping on astrology. I also like to point out to tell people that this is my boss's boss, right? I don't know who your boss's boss is, but that's my boss's boss. So. All right. And, okay, questions? Then we'll get you. Okay, perfect. Yes. So Hanukkah, runs on the lunar calendar. So, for example, the 15th of the month in the Jewish calendar is always a full moon. The first of the month is always a new moon. So, now, in the Islamic calendar, there's a lot of lunar calendars. The Chinese calendar is lunar, the Islamic calendar is lunar, the Jewish calendar is lunar. The Islamic calendar is just a fixed lunar calendar, so a cycle of the moon is about 30 days, and the year is 365 days, a solar cycle is 365 days. There's about 5 days difference between the two, which means that the Islamic calendar shifts against the solar calendar by about 5 days every year. So gradually, for example, we all hear about Ramadan because of the fasting. And over a period of time, it'll be in the winter, and it'll be in the around the summer and stuff like that. The Jewish calendar, they throw in an extra month. They throw in a leap month every so often, so that their months stay at about the same time of the year. And that's how that ties in.
Yeah. So if the Pope doesn't believe in astrology,
right,
why would he allow you to talk about it?
Well, I'm not, first of all, the Pope is going to talk to me what to do. That is not who I am, I'm sure. I mean, you might see my face in the report. It is true that my boss's boss is the Pope, but if he went to bugging him every day, hey boss, that, before long he put somebody else in. It is true, but there's as you can imagine, with the Vatican bureaucracy, it's complicated. That is and then the other thing is that, a lot of the monotheistic religions like Islam is very close to astrology. Christianity is generally close to astrology. Catholicism in particular. Usually this is because, two things. One is, if you pay much attention, you can pretty quickly tell that it's bogus, right? And the people are just using it to rip people off. And then the other thing is, because it doesn't work. And these arguments are ancient. They go way back to ancient times. People say, hey, look, here's these two guys. They're both twins. They're both guardians of the same sign, same sun sign, same moon sign, same ascendant. And this person turns into a wonderful human being, successful stuff, and his brother turns into a loser in the gutter somewhere. Okay? And so, obviously, astrology. This is that kind of argument. The arguments against free will, right? That you're not controlled. This is Shakespeare, false. And I am not telling you, I'm telling you about astrology, I'm not promoting astrology. In fact, I'm telling you that there are things about what I'm encouraging you, if you're interested in this, is find out what the actual sky is doing. Right? That's the real thing. Don't just say my email didn't go through, it must have been Mercury retrograde, right? Figure out what is Mercury retrograde. It is a real thing. Figure it out. You can actually see it. If you look, you can definitely see Venus retrograde. Mercury is very close to the sun, so you have to really watch closely to see Mercury. But you can actually, if you're really into this, you actually see Mercury do the retrograde. You can track it with yourself. Okay.
May I follow up?
Let me give some other people a shot. I've got a lot of questions. Yes.
Is there any connection between Pisces and the early Christian symbol of the fish, Hectus? And what about the Star of Bethlehem for anything with Christmas?
So one of the things that people will toss up about, this is usually in the Christian world, people want to defend, I can believe in astrology, astrology, because the Magi
know them.
We don't know what the Magi are doing.
Right. That's interpreted as astrologers, and they obviously, in some sense, they say that, you know, they saw a star. Very interesting thing about the Star of Bethlehem is that we always represent it as like a bright thing in the sky with these like guys on camels going across the desert in this huge blazing beacon. But if you read, the idea of it being blazing is from a thing called Proto-Evangelium of St. James or something like that. But if you read the Gospel of Matthew that has the story in it, it's obvious the star is only observed to the trained eye. Because they go and they say, we see the star, and then Herod has to pull on and say, hey, when did the star appear? Right? Well, if it's a bright thing in the sky, everybody would know when the star appeared. Okay. But they have to have seen something, right? And but there's various things that's not clear. The star does things that don't make sense for a celestial object. It somehow points to the location, which you cannot do for something that's in the sky. And so that's an unknown.
And okay. In the Pisces, does Pisces come into?
Oh, I don't know about Pisces.
That has to do with where the sun was over the first point of Aries, the equinox, at 2,000
years ago. Aries was the equinox in Aries.
Years
ago.
It's moving into Aquarius now.
It's the age of Aquarius.
We're the age of Aquarius.
Yeah.
It's called the first point of Aries. It's where the ecliptic and the celestial equator intersect.
I can show that, but let me get the other question.
Yeah, it becomes a recession.
Okay, two questions. First, in modern constellations, the sun actually goes to the east of Ophiuchus about now, actually. Was that ever included in astrology with the constellation boundaries and the others? Can you say anything briefly about Chinese or Indian astrology or any other civilizations' astrologies besides the classical Mediterranean one?
I can't. So first of all, let's go look at now and see if he's right.
I think it's about now.
Okay, so
I am Ophiuchus.
Is the sun around Ophiuchus? Oh, it kind of is. There is Ophiuchus, right? And but Ophiuchus is depending on how you draw these things, right? It's like, you know, okay, you can say it, but really it's in Scorpio. And then other countries, other places, constellations,
or astrologies.
Yeah, well, hang on a minute. Star lore. Let's see if I can get it. I need to look at your attributes.
Okay.
Let's talk about Arabic first. What's that stuff? That's just new stations. So here's Chinese. So that's just all sorts of constellations. The Chinese have a zillion, little bit in teeny tiny constellations. That's that's the Chinese. And if it lines up for them, so there they are. Right. One of the things I like about China, somewhere in here, is the Chinese have a toilet in the sky. Now, there is a toilet. It's a normal part of life. And so, let's see if we can do something else here. Norse. So, there's a few that are on here. Man's card, woman's card, somebody's toe, the fisherman's, a wolf's mouth. They're just a few.
Let's try Indian.
Is this other ones? I don't know what these are, right? But the first of the blessed feet. The latter and the feet, the root. So they have this different constellations that are in here. I thought that they had the Arab.
try. I don't know if another one is pictures, but maybe I can. Is this something Egyptian?
No, they don't, but they just have
a horse
as a hippo.
Actually going by fast, or is it just that our brain something now it still makes us feel
bad? It's just you, right? It's just if we sat you down and you had to watch grass grow for 24 hours a day, you know, like you would just be like, it takes forever for a day to go by. You know, it's because you're busy. You know.
Yeah, because even in class today, they were like, why did the year went by like so fast?
But you know this, if you go to a class and it's a class that you find interesting, then it'll be like, oh, it's over. Like, or is it some guy up there droning, blah, 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 blah. You're just sitting there at the top of the clock, the hand of the clock, like, yeah. And you're sitting there, oh, please wait for this time to get. Like, you know, so you.
The earth is still going the same
moment. It's all the same. Right? It's all your perception. Everyone's getting older. Remember, I mean, you know, you can always go, you know, people argue about this, and there'll be people who claim there's some slight statistical bump or something like that, but then be like, no, you look at the statistics, it's not really true. It's not a significant thing. It is possible, right, that, I mean, even still, if you said, okay, there's more crime at a full moon, it makes more sense in the past that could have been true, because in the past, you didn't have street lights. So I mean, when it got dark, you know, the observatories used to be located right in most cities. Why? Because it got dark in the cities, just like it gets dark out in the country. So if you listen to, like, if you listen to Shakespeare plays, like this, I can't remember what it is, but it's probably going to stab this guy, you know, and they talk about, oh, I hear him coming, but they like, in this case, they're mistaken identity. Well, think, well, why would they mistake the person? Because they have no street lights, right? It's just in the dark, and they're stabbing someone in the dark. So if you had a moon, then you're a criminal, then you can actually see something, even if you can see where to break into. So it is possible that the moon did affect those things, but not in like a mysterious way. Yes?
Going back to the star of Bethlehem, I mean, the Polynesians and others navigated by the stars, but you've got to take it metaphorically. They were actually following the star, which crosses the sky.
Right.
It'd be going one direction and then in the other,
exactly.
Another direction.
Yes, so,
navigate by the stars, but you cannot use the stars you'd like to say, oh, person's in this house. So, there's a whole lot of questions. Let me try to get it. No, they don't. They don't say I'm using 2,000 years. It's just the calculations are based on a geocentric world system that uses 2,000 year old physics. They're not like 50 years, but they're following this other form of calculation that does not include the precession of equinoxes, which is what she was talking about. Let me take a moment to show this. So, okay, I got to go back to